Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost comes from our Gospel reading of John. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's the fruit, isn't it, that we always spend the most time worrying about? How big it is, how ripe it is, how sweet and plentiful and appealing it is. It's like we're all down at the farmer's market, running up and down the aisles, stopping at all of the different stands, admiring the produce, the color, the ripeness, the yield, always impressed by the guy whose fruit seems freshest, whose farmer, whose crop is threefold that of his neighbor, or the farmerette whose pumpkin tips the scales at one of the biggest of the season. And don't ask me why I all of a sudden think that this fruit Jesus is talking about is a pumpkin. I'm probably only the only one, and have probably ruined it all for all of you right now. Probably should have used something like grape. That would have been something Jesus would have done. But whatever the case, the thing about teaching, about this teaching, is that we always do seem to focus on the fruit. And it's the vine that's often overlooked, isn't it? Down at the farmer's market, we don't give a second thought to where the fruit comes from. We never ask the guy selling the pumpkin or the grape or whatever what his vine looked like. We just care about the fruit. But the fruit is non-existent without the vine. In fact, the branch in which the fruit is plucked can only produce fruit when it is attached to the vine. And so it's the vine that's of the utmost importance here, not the fruit. So why is it that we never seem to talk about the vine when we're worrying about all the fruit? Perhaps we should read this section of Scripture in context. And here's a little tip for you. We should always read Scripture in context. John chapter 15 comes on the evening of Passover during Holy Week. For you and me, that's better known as Maundy Thursday. Jesus and his disciples are celebrating the Passover feast, the final Passover feast, which is fulfilled and culminated when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. Now, it's at some point during that evening, after he had already washed the disciples' feet, showing him to be the greatest servant of all, showing him to be that great suffering servant that the prophet Isaiah talks about long ago, in which the world, the whole world, had been waiting for. At some point, Jesus talks to the disciples, and it's about this vine and branches and fruit sort of stuff. Now, the danger, of course, is to not know the context of these verses. The danger is to read these verses in a vacuum and to not realize that apart from Christ fulfilling the entirety of the law, being the suffering servant who takes upon himself the sins of the whole world, being the vine in which the branches actually find their life, and instituting the supper, which enables the branches to forever abide in the vine, apart from all that, none of this makes sense. If taken apart from Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday, it's easy for us, and we usually do, to focus on the fruit in this text. But the fruit is only a mere byproduct of everything else that's already been talked about. And yes, the fruit is important. Don't get me wrong. The fruit is most certainly important. Because Jesus says in our text for today, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples." But without the vine, the fruit doesn't exist. And so maybe, just maybe, our focus shouldn't be so much on the fruit, but on the vine. Now, it doesn't take a horticulturalist. That's just fancy talk for farmer. It doesn't take one of those to know that if a branch stands alone, it doesn't bear any fruit. That's just a simple thing for anyone to grasp. So easy that even your little kids can understand it. Just go out to your own yard and find a branch broken off of the tree, and you can immediately know and see that it is dead. It can in no way bear fruit by itself. So if such a thing is self-evident, why is it that we can't seem to put two and two together and realize what Jesus is talking about in our text for today? I dare say that it's because the sinner always wants to take credit for stuff that the sinner has no business taking credit for. And that starts with salvation. The sinner wants to take credit for his own salvation, his own life, both temporal and eternal. And so the sinner would like nothing better than to be able to be a big old branch full of life and full of fruit without ever being attached to the vine. But this can't be. For such a branch is dead without being connected to the vine. So fine, the sinful branch actually says, but I still want credit for producing the fruit. Which makes sense, I suppose, until it doesn't, for who has ever said a thing like, I'm going to go pick an apple from that branch over there? You don't pick an apple from a branch, you pick an apple from an apple tree. No tree, no branch. No tree, no fruit. And that way, the tree or the vine is the one responsible for the branch and for the fruit. So the fruit is the vines, not the branches. But that never makes the sinner happy, does it? And so the sinner always wants to ask a question, a type of question that says, how do I produce more fruit? He wants those three specific ways, the four simple tricks, the list of the do's and all of the don'ts that he can do so that he can be or do a better job at producing a bigger pumpkin or more grapes or a shinier apple. But I dare say that such a question is the wrong sort of question. If we begin with worrying about the fruit, then the fruit will never come, no matter how good the tips or the tricks actually are. Now, perhaps I'm losing you there, talking in all this abstract, so let's just talk in the literal. I could stand up here today and I could tell you exactly how to be a better father and a kinder mother and a more respectful child and a more loving neighbor. In fact, I could even use scripture to show you this. Quote verbatim, right out of the good book itself, what is expected from a father or a mother or a child or a neighbor or a whatever. But apart from Christ, no fruit will ever be produced. And it might look that way to our temporal eyes, living in this temporal world of ours, but the reality is that no fruit can be produced, no truly good work can be done if it isn't done in Christ. Or better said, if it isn't Christ producing the fruit. You can't be a branch from which fruit sprouts forth if you're not actually connected to the vine. And the wonderful thing about this that we get to hear about today is that you are already a branch. Christ already promised that to you. He even says as much in different words, but he says as much in our text for today. You are already clean, he says, because of the word that I have spoken to you. He's already made you a branch through the promise of the word in which he's spoken over you. His death and his resurrection, his forgiveness of sins and his life, already spoken into your ears, has already made you to be a branch that is sprouted forth from the true vine. That is your reality right now as you sit there in these pews. Job already accomplished on the cross in the empty tomb, done by Jesus himself. Gift already given to you in the holy waters of baptism, just like it was for little Ezra last week, in which you were grafted into the true vine and given life, true life in him. You don't have to worry about being a branch. He's already made you to be a branch. So then Jesus goes a little bit further, and he tells you to abide in him. Now that right there might seem, in fact, to be a little bit daunting, but such a task is just as daunting as telling you to be a branch. Because the making of the branch is the vine's work, and therefore remaining a branch must also be the work of the vine. Abide in him and he in you. That's what Jesus says, but that's just Jesus' way of telling you to be where he's promised to be. Continue to find yourself in the very place where his life and his forgiveness of sins is poured out for you on a continual basis. Come to church. Have his word of forgiveness spoken over you, remitting you all of your sins. Find yourself at this altar often, which is to say, as often as his table is prepared, so that he can feed you with his own body and blood and thus abide in you and you in him. Be a branch, which means receive from him the gospel, free and clear, today and always, knowing full well that he truly gives to you what he's always promised to give. And now, finally, now, not most importantly, but yes, finally, we can start talking about the fruit. Only now that we have the correct understanding of what it means to be a branch, abiding in the vine, can we actually start talking about the fruit. Only now does the fruit actually come into this conversation. But now all of this fruity talk ceases to be this daunting law that looms over your head. Now you don't have to worry about this exhortation from your Lord and whether or not you've actually done enough good works to be considered a good person or produced enough good fruit to be considered a real branch. For even this has been taken off of your plate. Your Lord has promised it already. He says in our text, "Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." If you are a branch, which God has already made you to be and promised that you are, and you are a branch that abides in him and he in you, which Christ your Lord continually makes you to be through the constant reception of his good gifts and forgiveness of sins through his word and sacraments, if you are this, which you are, then you will bear much fruit. As such a branch that you've been made to be, you can do nothing else but to produce much fruit. Because the fruit isn't your fruit at all, it's his. And he will cause it to bear in you a harvest that yields more than you could ever imagine. And this is the reason, and the reason why, and the way in which the Father is actually glorified, as Jesus says in our text, because you bear much fruit, because it's the fruit of repentance, which is nothing more than the fruit of the forgiven, which is nothing more than the fruit of Jesus Christ in his cross sprouting forth from you, because he's done it. He's done it all. He saved you from your sins. He has given you new life in him. And yes, he has brought forth much fruit in you, because it's his fruit. And so now it's easy to know what fruit actually looks like. It looks like faith. Faith which grasps on to the words and promises of your true vine, and faith which knows that sins are actually forgiven, and faith which that has been turned from the evil things of this world to the holy and righteous ways of God. Faith which delights in the things of the Lord, and yes, believe it or not, faith which even delights in his law. Because it's a faith which knows that the fruit that is produced by the vine through the branch is not for the sake of the branch that it's grown on, but it's for the sake of the branch growing next to it. Faith which receives life and salvation from the vine. Faith which loves the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loves your neighbor as himself. Faith which knows that when he has not loved the Lord as he should, and has not actually loved his neighbor as himself, comes to receive the forgiveness of all of those sins from the true vine himself, thus abiding in him, and therefore continuing always to produce fruit, just as the vine said. So, my fellow branches, don't worry your silly little twigs so much about the fruit that you produce. For the fruit isn't yours, it's the vine's. Instead, worry whether or not you're a branch abiding in the vine, which is really to say, don't worry about that either. For Christ has already made you to be a branch, and so you are. You are a branch that abides in him because he abides in you through his word and sacraments that you receive today and every day that you pass through these doors or crack open your Bible in personal devotion or sing a hymn to yourself in the car or lift the silent prayer to the Lord in the stillness of the night. Abiding in him, which you do, means that you bear much fruit because it's his fruit to begin with. And he'll make it grow, just like he promised. In the name of Jesus.